you know, I didn't think of the terms of feminism in the way you had put it out there. In fact, I would have thought it was politically incorrect to say some of the things you said when we started this show. And that's when I said, Andrea,
that's why
well,
I said it.
What's that?
I said it is political incorrect. That's
it is, which I love you for that. But I mean, you're just, right, Andrea? She put it out there, and I thought, well, that's going to be sexism to a lot of people. They'll listen to that and say, who is this chick? What is she selling? Andrea, right?
Exactly.
I mean, but yet she's really just defining what it is, who we are, and what we were. You see, the thing about Eben that you are different than most is you're able to step back from the dance, Eben, and you're able to see a lot of things. You're very, very brilliant, very brilliant. But you're able to step back and really see things that a lot of people don't pay attention to. Just the redefining of the roles that you brought out in this conversation is worth the price of admission today if you're listening to the show. You know, you've redefined. You know, I feel like when I'm done with this show now, I need to go out and shoot a bull and come back and drag its ass back to the house and Friday. You know, it's like, I'm going to be the man today, you know. And this is, you know, like, oh, well, and somebody says to me, someone's going to tap me on the shoulder to say today, and they're going to say to me, who the hell do you think you are? And you know what I'm going to say? Well, I'm the man. Eben Tranholm said I could do this. I'm the man today. Well, the big question on everyone's mind, it's a gender thing, or is it? World peace, religion, sex, money, politics, climate change, big business, big ideas, and big egos. Nothing is off limits. As I'm joined by some of the most accomplished and highly opinionated women from the far left, the far right, and the far reaches of the planet. This is Malcolm Out Loud, and you're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. So we get started to do the show here today, and my dear co-host and friend out of Denmark, Eben Tranholm, says, Malcolm, fess up and act like a man. Just start the show and act like a man. And I thought, what is she talking about? And here we are talking about the feminization of politics. This ought to be a good one, friends. And coming to us from Denmark is Eben Tranholm, is our co-host today, and also Dr. Andrea Pennington from Monaco. It is going to be an interesting next hour, so I suggest if you have a seatbelt close by, buckle that seatbelt. You might need it with this whole conversation. What's the problem right now when you look around the world, both in Europe and in the States here, with the feminization of politics, please?
Well, if we narrow it down a little bit here in the beginning, I started to pay attention to this problem after the incident of sexual assault in Cologne, in Germany, on New Year's Eve. It was in 2016 or 15. I don't even remember now. But it's like almost a year, more than a year ago. And these sexual assaults were committed by Muslim refugees against German women. I think there were around 1,000 women outside the Cologne Cathedral, and they were really harassed and they were sexually abused. And I was just thinking at that time, how come that this could happen? So many women on New Year's Eve out, I mean, in the public, in the street, and there were no men to defend them. Where were the German men to beat those refugees up and say, you just got to stop this right now. I mean, don't rape our women. But it seems like there were no men around, or maybe they were just watching or whatever. So I really started to wonder what's really going on. And I just realized that European men are, they have been made over the image of women for decades now. So they are no match for Muslim men because they're completely neutered. I mean, culturally, politically, spiritually. So, I mean, those men or so-called men cannot protect women because they don't know how to be men. I mean, in my generation, men were taught to be women because all their mothers were feminists and they were against any kind of manliness. So they taught them in the 60s and in the 70s that they should act like women. And now we see the result. I mean, we really have a huge confrontation, especially when it comes to the Muslim culture, because they only have respect for strong men. And I mean, strong men are not exactly what
So
it's
you
what
think
is.
even the men have been marginalized somehow with the way our, well, the way our political sphere has been tilted over the past many years? You think the men have been marginalized or they've allowed themselves to be, huh?
No, but like I said, since the 60s, I mean, mothers have raised their sons to be women, and they have been soaked in feminine values like accepting responsibility for the household, being caring, understanding, and attentive. And so they have to bend to every wish of the woman. And this is also why I think we have so many divorces, is because, I mean, men has lost their masculinity. And their manliness. They don't know how to be men. And in the end, even though we have all those feminists whining about that they want soft men, in the end, they want a strong man. And there are no strong men left in my generation. It's actually a huge problem. But I think when it comes to politics, it's even worse because look at Europe. We have no European leader that has a military background. And most, I mean, look at this. Macron just was elected in France. I mean, he's very feminine and he has this soft approach. We should just open the borders. We should just be inclusive. I mean, there is no manliness in him at all. And I mean, Hollande is no better. In Germany, we have Mutti Merkel. Actually, this is what the refugees call her, Mutti Merkel. She's just a mother. I mean, she really has no backbone like a man. And it goes for all of Europe. You have these soft men, or you have women in power who are sort of masculine, but in the end, they don't have the power of a man. So it means that there is one word we can't say anymore in Europe, and that's no. No. I mean, don't do this. I don't like it. Don't do it. And if you do it, I'm gonna fight back.
Okay. All right.
No,
That
no,
is a
no, we don't.
great setup. That is a great setup. So, Andrea, I'd like you to talk to that point. There are several, I'm sure, points you're just dying to go off on that really though, truly that Eben has just made. I have a bunch myself, but please, let's have you chime in, please.
Well, I feel a little nervous about this conversation, to be honest, because I, for one, am in favor of this rise of feminine values. I think there's a slight difference going on in America, and that is, okay, you can look at, former President Obama and say that maybe he was a little too liberal or gentle. But if you look historically, all of these male presidents who have been so aggressive and so quick to jump into war, I don't think we're seeing the same expression of feminine values in the men in America, at least not in my view. And in fact, what I see is I believe that there does need to be more of the feminine values of cooperation, not in a sense of being a sissy and not in a sense of being a yes man. But in the sense of recognizing that there is a time to give, to open, to receive. So I'm a little nervous about this conversation, to be totally honest, because if, here's my question for you, Iben, if the Muslim state was not full of this unrest as it is, where we're seeing so many refugees and other, extremists bubbling out into other countries, if they were in peace, for example, would you still have that same argument? Like, for example, if these more feminine natured men were elected officials, but we didn't have this problem that we're dealing with these extremists, would it be a problem for you?
I think it's very important that a society has the complementarity or the balance between the feminine and the masculine aspect. And right now, we have lost the masculine element or aspect, and that's a problem because everything is run by feminine values. And I think that every culture needs to defend itself. I mean, I believe in the old family structure. There needs to be a father, there needs to be a mother. And if there's only the mother or if there's only the father, it doesn't really work out very well because it's not balanced. And we have, I mean, because of feminism, we have, I mean, this balance has been completely destroyed. And I don't think it's wise for a society only to be run by feminine values. I see your point that women are more receptive, they are more open to be the receiving part. But still, I think it's very important that there are some manliness, some masculine virtues to defend the society, to take action, to take responsibility, and also to sacrifice, to know, I mean, the value of sacrifice, which is not, of course, it's also a female value, but I think the idea that you want to, I mean, put yourself to death to save other people's lives, it's something that belongs to, I mean, many, I mean, to the masculine world. And I don't see that anymore. I see all these, I think we have a culture of therapy. Well, I mean, we don't even, I mean, we're not even able to identify evil anymore, because it's just a matter of that people were poor, or they had the wrong education, or they were in the wrong environment. So there's no need to defeat it or to stand up against it, because we can just have a dialogue like a woman would have with her son, whereas the father would set up some discipline and said, this is no good, you can't do this anymore. And if you don't do like I said, there are actually consequences.
You know, Eben, it just reminded me of something, Eben, I have to tell you. I just finally were able to define you just now in my mind. As I've known you now for several years, and you are you have been able to strike that delicate balance. You are a strong woman, Eben Trenholm, who has enormous values, but you don't play to the feminist march and movement, and you don't think you have to do that to be a strong woman. You kind of are the exception to the rule, Eben, don't you think?
I don't know. Like you said, when you introduced me, I'm just telling what's on my mind. So I'm really not thinking in those terms.
Yeah, but this is really, we're stereotyping. Listen. A lot of people would hear what you've said up front, and if you really analyze all of this, with the feminization of politics and the way you've redefined masculinity. You know, Andrea, she got me to really think again about masculinity and feminism, which I hadn't really thought in that tense in a while. I hadn't really broke it down in my mind that way in quite some time, actually, because we have sort of been in flux and changing in society. And it's like, because the way you just put it out there, even, a lot of people would hear you, well, many people, and they would say you're being sexist. You're being totally, totally sexist with your views of masculinity and feminism and the way you've just kind of flipped the whole thing and want to reverse it back. A lot of people would say that's a very sexist statement to make. What would you say to them, Eben?
Sexist? I mean, you have to explain that to me, why anybody should get the impression that I would be a sexist.
Well, let's hold that thought now. Let's do this. This is really great. Andrea, I would like you to explain that, please. Would you do that, please? Why is Eben, in your professional opinion, because you are a feminist, totally, Andrea, you embrace that. So explain to us why Eben is being, why those statements are sexist.
Well, I see it as being a little polarizing and a little bit about wanting to put the genders into boxes. So I agree. I appreciate a strong masculine man, but there is this concept of yin and yang, and we are all unique expressions of this type of an energy. So to say that all men must be willing to stand up and fight and die for what they believe in, I think is a little polarizing. And it's sexist in the terms that it's very narrowly defining what it means to be a man. So if a man is slightly more feminine in your eyes, then it seems as though you're saying he's not a real man. And I think that's where it gets to be just a little delicate for me.
And then what qualifies a real man? I mean, that's a whole nother conversation there. You know, I mean, really, though. So even this is really a very fascinating dialogue that we've started with here. And I knew Andrea would have a point on this because she's been on this show enough to know that we know who she is. And you've just defined it out there in a big way. Here's the thing. You laid out Europe pretty well with many of the leaders in Europe and what has taken place there. Europe, I'm going to play to York language today, right now, even. Whether I catch hell for it or not, well, we'll see. But here's the thing. Europe has been over-feminized totally, which is, I think, part of the problem. If we're going to use the term masculinity and feminism in the way that you put it out there, which a lot of people would find fault with, but really they shouldn't, because you're just bringing it back to the basic root definition of what those words mean, which, Andrea, you talk about all the time on this show, so I'm just going to fess up and say that, because you kind of straddle that line as well, that I see the struggle within you of wanting to embrace both worlds. So if that's the case, and Europe has been over-feminized, and that's a lot of the decision-making and the leadership, and, oh, it's okay, don't worry about it, oh, come on, just, you know, let them all in, it's all good, man, kumbaya, let's hold hands, love, peace, oh, dig it, man. I mean, that's, you know, Europe is really in this weird wacko stage that's going on where there aren't any rules. There are no rules. You don't have to worry about being put in a box there, because they're so out there open right now. As you just say, they were out in the center public square groping and sexually harassing the women. I remember that. And I don't know where the hell the men were. I don't even remember seeing a report on that. I don't, but that brings up a great point. I don't know what happened there. That was a, you know, that conversation was a, that was a big deal. And it kind of went away pretty quick, if you notice. I mean, you know, it didn't stay in the news very long. I remember that. And here we are, you bring it up all this time later, which is well over a year ago, probably 2 years ago. I don't know. But, you know, so now take a look at, look what happened in the States here, ladies. So how did this President Trump come out of nowhere, you know, to do what he did in this way? And you know why he, how he did it, and the reason you liked him initially even, is because he played to the masculine point of what you're speaking about. Sort of a quasi, some people would refer to him as a bully. Some would refer to him as highly outspoken, very irregular. But here's the thing about Trump. You know who he surrounded himself? Now, you just put another good point even. He, like, a lot of them don't have a military background. They're not soldiers. They don't come from that background. Trump didn't either, but here's what Trump is smart enough to figure it out, and what he did, and this got a lot of people nervous, by the way, here, he surrounded himself with generals. He was hiring so many generals in his administration, people were starting to get panicked. It was a lot, it was, oh my God, another general, you know, like, what is going on here? It's like this guy is building like an army around him. And people started to get real nervous with that. So, you know, Trump is one of those unique characters that, you know, that sort of many people think define leadership. Other people think he's a complete buffoon. But he really straddles that line in a very interesting way. But that's what's happened in America here. Now he's stepped up, and yeah, I think you'll agree with that, Eben. He's got all these generals and others. And I know last time we talked, I mean, listen, I want to tell folks, if you're just hearing Eben Trenholm today, she was a big Trump supporter over the last couple of years. I mean, we've talked enough that I know that. And then in the last time we had her, where she was co-hosting the show here, she had a rude awakening for many of us, and me definitely, and said, hey, listen, I am really pissed off at Trump. I'm not liking him at all. Now, I don't know where that love-hate relationship is today, but we're going to find out right after this pause when we come back with Eben Trenholm and Dr. Andrea Pennington. Well, this is going to get real interesting, friends. We'll be right back with you.
You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. It's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. You'll find a whole host of shows and a great lineup back at AmericaOutloud.com. And also, get the apps. We now stream 24/7 on Android and Apple. Just look for America Out Loud Talk Radio.
So we are back. I just started talking through the break with Eben and Andrea, and I got to tell you, as I just said to them, this is a heavy topic today, but a really good one. And I think if we can come to some sort of agreement here or a thought process as to what this all means, then we've done our job here at Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. So again, we are back with Eben Trenholm here from Denmark and Dr. Andrea Pennington from Monaco. It's Malcolm Out Loud here. It's interesting, the feminization of politics. But the real cool thing for me, Andrea, is that when we started this thing, Eben redefined I forgot. Listen, I'm going to tell you, Andrea, I'm very serious. I totally forgot what the word masculine meant or feminist meant. I totally forgot what those words. I didn't know. Honest to God, I forgot. I forgot, Your Honor. I forgot. Okay. Even reminded me totally, like, this is what this words mean. This is what this word means. Like, now be honest with me. Have you ever forgot what those words mean?
I don't think so. But I think there's a different flavor that I carry to the conversation. But no, I haven't forgotten what it means to be masculine. But you know my background. You know, coming from a background in Chinese medicine and integrative medicine, I recognize that there is no one size fits all. You cannot paint a picture of a man and say that he must be all aggressive and tough and, you know, out for protection at all costs. That is one very strong and polarized aspect of masculinity, but it's not the whole picture. And just like you can't say that, you know, there's only one way to be a woman. I think the other element that I want to bring up here is there is a difference when you're living in Europe versus in America. And again, in America, yes, there are people that are saying that, you know, the immigration, it wasn't even an immigration policy, that people were sneaking in. They were, you know, clandestine refugees coming in, supposedly taking jobs from Americans. But this whole energy shift about building a wall, it's not like it's just a masculine thing. It's a domination thing. And I think that it's a perverted and... perverted sense of masculinity that we're seeing with the current president. So I wouldn't, you know, tout Trump as being like the epitome of the true man. But that's just me.
Yeah, you found that whole wall thing pretty offensive, Andrea, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think so, yeah.
And I think that there shouldn't be fair immigration policies. I just think that the way that he portrayed it was very polarizing, it was very ugly, and it painted a very ugly picture of Americans. You and I have talked about this before,
right.
That now me as an American living outside of the country, there are times when I hang my head in shame because people think that he represents all of us, and he does not.
Mm-hmm. Right. Eben, are you back on the Trump train or are you still derailed?
Well, let me just comment on what Andrea just said, because she started out saying she was getting nervous about this conversation because I was talking about masculinity. Now she makes me very nervous when she says there is no such thing as a real woman or as a real man. Because I think this is actually the tragedy of our culture, is that we have sort of dissolved those role models. So nobody can really tell anymore what it's like to be a woman or what it's like to be a man, or there are no role models anymore, as I said before. And I think there are many ways, it's true, you can be a man that defend your family or your life or your culture in different ways. You can do it on a spiritual level. You could do it like a soldier. You can do it like a politician. There are many ways and there are many characters. We don't have the same personalities. But still, I mean, to be able to take that kind of responsibility, I think that is something that belongs to a man. And if he can't take responsibility, his marriage would fall apart and his life would fall apart. So that's just a fact. And I think feminists, they're not even feminine anymore, because I come from a country where feminism has been very strong, and we have had many advocates for feminism here. And if you ask men that come to Danish culture and are dating Danish women, they would say they are some of the most aggressive masculine women on earth. So it means they don't know how to be women. They don't know how to embrace a man or be receptive, like you said before, or the receiving part, because they are so independent, so strong, that they won't let any man into their lives. So they're acting like men. So I don't think that this is really feminism, because feminism has only been about how to become a man as a woman, not to be more feminine, but to become more manly. And today, if a woman in my country or in my culture is not independent and strong and she can take care of everything herself, she can even get a baby without a man, she just gets a donor, she's not a real woman. I mean, mm-hmm. so she has to be independent from a man. You know, all my childhood and when I was growing up, the only thing I learned was you gotta prepare yourself to be independent of a man. So that is to be a woman today. So, and you know what? I see that women and men are not comfortable with that. Everything is just falling apart. Our society is completely, or the order of our society is completely messed up. A lot of people get divorced because it's two individuals that are marrying, not a man and a woman, that are trying to complement each other. So I think I get really nervous when you say that there is no such thing as being, you know, a male or a female, because it's just up to you. It's just some kind of relativistic project, decide for yourself.
There is a point that we agree on. I do believe that for women, the pendulum has swung a bit far, and we see this in America as well. Malcolm, you know, I've mentioned this before, that many women, especially African-American women, who, because of their men being incarcerated or just unavailable, many women have had to man up, as it's been said. We have become the alpha bitch or the alpha boss, and so that we could seem to be as competent as men, we have taken on a lot of masculine energy. So it's true, I agree with you on that point, Eben, that indeed women have forgotten how to be the girl, how to be the female in the relationship. And that is causing problems in people's marriages. The only thing that I would still hold on to is that what you're not leaving room for, which again scares me, is you're not leaving room for flow, for evolution, for growth. We are not stuck in the same societal structures as we were before. And thank God for that. Now women do not have to stay at home and tend to children. We have brains, we have ideas, we have passions, and we should be encouraged to leave the home and pursue them. I'm not saying in a self-interested, egoic way where we're forgetting our quote-unquote female place. I'm simply saying that we are individuals. We did come into this world with the equal right and potential to develop ourselves, to grow, and to contribute to society. Now, when I say that there is no such thing as a true woman or a true man, I mean that if you leave us stuck in these old roles, then we will become stuck. And it's not natural. Things have progressed, things have evolved, and that I'm not saying we're perfect yet. I think the pendulum is going to swing back and we'll find our middle ground. But I don't think that we need to go backwards and try to stick women into a very fixed feminine ideal, or men either.
No, but I think the more we are trying to progress and say there is no such thing as gender roles, people get more and more messed up, and they need more and more therapy because they don't know who they are. So, I mean, there is a reason that God created us with a gender. And I think we have tried, to create a culture where it doesn't really matter, but it really matters. I mean, it really matters in the end if you are a woman or if you are a man. I mean, we have different bodies. And of course, I don't think that women should just, sit at home or stay in the kitchen and take care of the children. But I see that many women are longing back to that, because I see also a lot of women are extremely divided because they don't know how to be mothers and they don't know how to do their careers, and they're completely messed up. So people are not very happy. People are not happy. I see, you know, here in Denmark, every fourth woman, there was a survey, is so stressed out that she is on the brink of some kind of nervous breakdown. A lot of people go down with stress, and I don't think it's because they have too much work. It's because I think they really are in serious doubts about who they are, whether they are a man or they are a woman, or what is the essence of their lives. And it has to do with the gender roles as well. So I think it's very tragic that we think that it is progressive to say that gender doesn't really matter, because you can just create yourself the way you want to be. And now I see that some countries, now they don't want to define whether it is a boy or a girl that is being born, but so you can just decide your own gender. You can do that, but I think you're going to be very unhappy and very messed up, and it's going to be a huge tragedy, because you cannot deny nature. You can't deny nature.
It was 1920, so we're almost at a 100-year point, when women got the right to vote here in the U.S. They couldn't even vote before then. It was ratified, in fact, in 1919, Congress ratified it, and it was finally passed on August 18, 1920. That's when women got the right to vote. Now, if you look back at the last 25 to 30, 35 years in more recent memory, and I remember back, like the 80s, early 80s, late 70s, when women were just getting out to really get those big career jobs, even that we've been talking about this transition and this movement. And I remember a lot of the strong media stories about a lot of society was wrestling with, oh, how can women, they should be home raising their family, how can they be out, like, you know, doing these big career jobs? And there was a lot of controversy on just from the point of working. And you know, and then, you know, you need two incomes, you need, you know, she's got to work as well as he's got to work. And there was that whole transition, you know, happening just in recent times, last 25 years, really. Now we don't think of that in the terms anymore. It's that's gone by us now. So it's perfectly legitimate and acceptable. But it wasn't back even just 25 years ago. It was, you know, and just before that was the Leave It to Beaver generation, where, you know, that sitcom played so well to the stereotype of, you know, she's at home doing her thing and he's off, you know, doing his thing. And they raised the family accordingly. And those were the rules of the roads for hundreds and thousands of years, actually. And then this whole thing kind of transitioned, you know, in the past, really just, well, I just defined 100 years and then the last 25 years. And then you look at all of this now. And even the big point I take from something you just said was that, well, women can't have a child without a man. I mean, it takes two to make that happen. But then there were a lot of women, and that was the big thing, that said, well, I don't need a man to define me, and I don't need a man in my life. And that's a pretty common conversation I hear a lot of out there. That was the big push is, you know, that was on the edge of the feminist movement, is that, you know, we're going to do it our way. We don't need a man. And you're sort of trying to bring it back to traditional values, even to say, okay, you know, there is a purpose to feminism and masculinity. And now when we bring it to the conversation we're having now in politics, it's, you know, I didn't think of the terms of feminism and the way you had put it out there. In fact, I would have thought it was politically incorrect to say some of the things you said when we started this show. And that's when I said, Andrea, well, what's that?
I said, it is political incorrect.
It is, which I love you for that. But I mean, you're just, right, Andrea? She put it out there and I thought, well, that's going to be sexism to a lot of people. They'll listen to that and say, who is this chick? What is she selling? Andrea, right?
Exactly.
I mean, but yet she's really just defining what it is, who we are and what we were. You see, the thing about even that you are different than most is you're able to step back from the dance even, and you're able to see a lot of things. You're very, very brilliant, very brilliant. But you're able to step back and really see things that a lot of people don't pay attention to. Just the redefining of the roles that you brought out in this conversation is worth the price of admission today if you're listening to the show. You know, you've redefined, you know, I feel like when I'm done with this show now, I need to go out and shoot a bull and come back and drag its ass back to the house and fry it. You know, it's like, I'm going to be the man today, you know. And somebody says to me, someone's going to tap me on the shoulder to say today, and they're going to say to me, who the hell do you think you are? And you know what I'm going to say? Well, I'm the man. Even Tranholm said I could do this. I'm the man today.
But listen, Malcolm, a lot of women would love you for that, because what women start to find boring is a man who wants to sit down and have a dialogue and understand the emotions and the feelings. They're getting tired of it. I see a lot of very independent women, like when I see my friends, they're just longing for the strong man. So it's really a huge paradox. It's that they have created the soft man. Or they have emasculated the man, and now when he has been domesticated, they want a real man, like a caveman, to come and knock them down. That's what they're dreaming of. It's true. I hear many, many women say, oh, there is no real man anymore. No, because we have emasculated them. And as soon as we meet a real man, we get so aggressive and so masculine with them. So, you know, they would rather pick a woman from the Philippines or some Asian woman that knows how to be soft and know how to treat them and to be nice, to be feminine. You know, there are a lot of men who actually really like to have a wife that just is caring about him. They love it. I mean, they just love it. And that's, so I know a lot of women in my age, in their 40s, that are singles because they can't find a man who can stand to be with them because they're too aggressive and they're too masculine. So, I mean, so, all we got out of this was to be, I mean, singles with our single kids. Is that a good life? I'm not sure.
Wow.
And you say? Dr. Andrea Pennington, this is your turn. I'm just waiting to hear your answer to all that, man.
Well, I mean, I mean, we just keep bouncing back and forth on the same points. I don't argue and I do not deny that there are women saying that. I don't deny it. I mean, I don't want to sound like a broken record. Yes, it's true. There are women that are saying, damn it, just give me a man who knows what he wants and knows how to treat me and is going to take me home and do me right. I get that. Again, I'll just say one last time, the only thing I fear is trying to stick us all in a box and label us. That's my greatest fear and my greatest resistance. And I do feel like, you know, do we need to pop out of the womb and we decide our own gender in this life? Okay, maybe not. But I definitely feel like we should not have gender roles so narrowly defined and thrust upon us that what happens if you have a more artistic man? Should he feel like he is less of a man? If he's a young boy and he's told that he's a sissy because he's not aggressive and pulling the wings off of butterflies like the other boys, you know, you're making him question who he is. And if he is naturally, you know, a little more artistic or a little more, I don't know, soft, does that make him wrong? Does that make him bad? Does that make him less of a man? Absolutely not, in my opinion. But again, I mean, we're just going back and forth on the same thing here.
Interesting.
No, I mean, of course. I mean, there are always, I mean, personalities that are different. But I think it's important that there are some kind of role models. And, you know, I see a lot of small boys today that have no male role models because the father is absent because of divorce. So it means they are growing up with their mothers and they have no male role models. And they're very confused because they don't know how to be a man. So then they look at their mothers and they become like women. And I think it's actually, it's easier to be different if you know what is the right role model. Then you can always, you know, be different and you can
but
do
who
your
are
own
you
way.
Who are you to determine what is right and what is wrong?
Well, there is actually tradition, and I mean human mankind has a long history.
And yes, I think but that history but, is very
yeah, but
volatile.
I see right now, I mean, it's just the women who are as aggressive and who are suppressing men like we were suppressed before. So, I mean, the war is still going on. Now it's just the feminists who see the man as the enemy, like before men saw women as somebody they could treat just as they pleased. But now
I don't
you
know
see...
That that's, I don't but, know if but, you can say that about all feminists. No, that's but, not true. We
well,
do not
I mean,
see men as the enemy.
I see a lot of feminists right now here in Europe who are defending Muslim women's right to wear the headcloth. So they're actually supporting, I mean, values that want to suppress the woman again. Because they say, well, it is the individual's right to wear the veil if she wants. But to me, it is going backwards. So there is a lot of confusion here about what is feminism. But I see that a lot of feminists are very angry women. They're angry women and they are angry with the men. And now they try to even defend, I mean, values that can bring the strong, suppressive man back. And that's not good. So I think they're extremely confused about who they are as well. I'm sorry, but I really think they are. Mm. And, you know, for instance, when we saw these rapings in Germany at New Year's Eve, you had a lot of women that were actually defending the perpetrators, saying, well, don't go after these Muslim men,
I remember
these
that.
Rapists, because white men can do the same. And you really felt that the hatred towards the white man belonging to that.
Yeah,
culture.
I remember that.
I think
that
it was even. Very disturbing. Yeah. It was disturbing to see.
So listen, there are two conversations we're having today. There's a micro conversation and a macro conversation. The micro conversation to me, well, and reverse these roles here, actually, is the redefining or the definition of masculinity and feminism. And then you bring it upwards into politics, because everything plays into the big world, into politics even. And then you bring it up into the political sphere, and a lot of this, you know, there's a societal shift that's been going on for a while, and it's played out into the political sphere now in the way people are. But there's a third piece here. And the third piece, which you're sort of walking around a little bit on tiptoes, even a little bit, is the fact of the terror that's out there. Now, the terror, that's the third component here. And that takes the conversation in a whole different realm that, you know, well, it redefines all of the rules. And I wonder if we get caught. Here's the big challenge, Andrea. Do we get caught as a society with our pants down, why we're sitting here arguing amongst ourselves, do we get caught with our pants down? That is a real problem, because there are other people roaming the planet who really are, they're not feminist or masculine, they're just terror turds. And these terror turds are redefining the rules of the road, and they're taking advantage of societal shift as a feminist movement and the feminist in politics to say, oh, it's okay. Yeah, you don't have to worry about it. And it's okay. You can do whatever you want to do in public, as you're just suggesting even there. And it's okay with female mutilization. And it's okay with open borders. And it's okay with letting people roam wherever they want. And it's okay to let people do. And it gets very polarized in the whole. And then it's like, wow, where do you fit into all of this? It's heavy, but really what we're talking about today, to me, redefines the entire conversation of what's happening in the political sphere today, and really in society today. It's interesting, the feminization of politics. This has taken on a life of its own. We'll be right back with Eben Tranholm and Dr. Andrea Pennington. Well, we're a new breed of talk radio, and with a new breed of host and shows to entertain and inform you. It's America Out Loud Talk Radio, with shows like Blue Lives Radio, OPSEC Radio Special Operations, shows that impact your health, like The Misdiagnosed Life, The Dr. Stem Show, What's Inside You, Mind, Body, Energy, and our newest show, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Thank you for sharing part of your day with us here at America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. So, Andrea, I wonder if we wake up 100 years from now and we see the woman come in and she's wearing the pants. She went out and shot the bull that day and dragged it home and said, okay, shut up, bitch, sit down, to her husband. And he has to watch the I wonder if there's going to be a reversal of roles back to your point of the caveman to where we are today. That's not...
Well, it's already happening. I mean, there's some of that now. I mean, I know Eben agrees with me. We have women who have taken on that role, and men, there are some men who are quite happy.
But what Eben is saying, let's dial it back to some practicality. So, for instance, back to that truck that was slamming people all over the road and killing people, and we're seeing more and more and more and more of those happen all the time. I guess you know, I guess what I'm going to say next probably is not very PC either, but do you want walking down the road to defend you, you know, a group of 15 transgender people who were out having a party that afternoon, or even, I know that's a pretty hostile statement to make, versus do you want 15 men to walk down and kick their ass?
Okay, stop. Malcolm, what is it that motivates people to act out? This is where you're missing the point here. Okay.
Let me answer that first. What causes them to act out? That's a great question. What causes them to act out to me is our weakness and their opportunity to dominate us. That's what causes them to act out. That's what causes them. Back to even saying the feminization of politics. Let's take that further, Andrea, seriously now. How about the feminization of society as a whole? If we're going to use that word in the tense of what you put forth here, ladies, the feminization, I mean, that isn't that what we're saying, Andrea?
So, but here's the thing that you're missing. These people who are acting out right now have been oppressed and suppressed. And are they taking advantage of more open borders and a more lax society? Maybe yes. But here's where you're missing it. If you're saying that the solution is the opposite, for men to just stand up and man up and defend, then guess what you have? You have these idiots in America right now who are killing, who are attacking, who are bullying people based on their gender or the color of their skin. Not because these people have done something wrong and they're saying, hey, you, stop messing with our women, I'm gonna defend. No, they're on an attack, they're on a rampage. And we absolutely cannot celebrate that and say that these are the return of masculine values. Here you go.
Right. And fry that up in a pan, huh? Wow. Eben, you hear this exchange right now. Where's the boundaries on this? I guess even more so, where's the middle ground? How do we take this now, Eben?
Well, I think, like Andrea just referred to a terrorist as oppressed people. And that's why they commit those actions. I mean, so it's typical a feminine value to see perpetrators as victims, not responsible for their own actions. And I think if you say, Andrea, that culture is something fluid, I mean, how come that those people, those terrorists, and a lot of Sunni Muslims, they're actually going backwards to the 7th century because they want to follow their prophet Muhammad and do everything according to what the Quran says? And they actually able to recruit a lot of young people in Europe that are not oppressed, that had the opportunity to get an education, to partake in our society. Yet, they are able to attract those people. And many young girls, they are attracted to those Islamic State warriors because they see that those men have strength. And I think, so you're actually seeing a whole generation now, a lot of second generation immigrants are actually become radicalized in Europe. So they're not attracted to our secular, relativistic, female, male, male, female values. They don't care. They want real women. They want real men. And for you, of course, that's not, I mean, you would say that this is not real man or real woman, but they are attracted to a kind of, I would say, a perversion of what is the true gender roles. And when we can't present as a society, I mean, the true gender roles. We see this kind of movement where people go towards something that is a perverted version of it. And this is what's happening right now. And this is what is ruining Europe. So that we see that there is this movement, I mean, backwards in time to something that was even before, I mean, medieval time. That they're completely brutal. If you steal, they cut your hand off. If you have another belief, they just chop your neck. I mean, it's so brutal and it's so primitive. And this is what's happening.
I get the feeling, even a lot of people want to ignore that. What you're talking about right now, Andrea, it's a pretty heavy conversation. But what even
Malcolm, people in Europe are in denial because they are in so much spiritual and moral darkness that they can't even see the danger. Mm. And this is really, 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 really scary. And that is because everything has been mixed up. We have been told since the 60s that, like I said before, women should become men and men should become women. So right now, our culture is just so fragile. It has no fundament. It has no foundation anymore. It has no moral foundation. And all traditions has been broken down. And that's why we are so weak.
Hmm.
It gives you pause, doesn't it, Andrea?
It certainly does.
I know. Do you think there is a lot of good in the world? Do you think there's more good than bad, or do you think there's more bad than good? Can I ask that of you?
Yes, I agree with Andrea that there is a lot of things happening in this world, and there are a lot of good people and a lot of people with good intentions. I agree. But if good people do not say stop, and if they don't defend their culture and what is good, evil will prevail.
Oh my God, that's it right there. That is the holy grail of this conversation, Andrea.
Agreed.
That's it. That's say it again. Even say it again, please.
I mean, if good people do not say stop and defend their culture and what is good, then evil will prevail. And this is what's happening in Europe right now. We are too weak to say stop, and that's why evil is growing. And that's the problem.
Well, I will say this then, if we're going to take it there, I do believe that Americans will say stop. I think we've seen it even just with Trump as the bully that he's been, as well as with terrorists. So I don't have the same maybe level of pessimism as you, Eben, in terms of the Europeans who've become too soft. I do think Americans are banding together and saying, no, this is not right. You will not continue this type of behavior.
Yeah. You know why that is, Andrea? Do you know? Thank you for saying that. Boy, that sets this up perfectly. Thank you for saying that so much, both of you. What a great conversation. That's because it's the call to duty. Quite frankly, back to American patriotism and American excellence, and I'm going to speak right up and tell you now, as an American, I'm proud to say to both of you that that is our contribution to the world, quite frankly. And I say that proudly today, folks, no matter where you're hearing this from, I say that proudly. As a world citizen, there's a role that America plays in this world. Absolutely, 100,000,000%. We're supposed to play this role. And even Tranholm, you know that. You've talked to me about that before in many different ways. And you know, I think you know it as well, Andrea, from this country. There is a role, and you've just both redefined it. Very fascinating. I believe that I have the same viewpoint that Eben has on this particular conversation to this point, Andrea. If, and I think you do probably as well, I think we can agree on this. Let me just say what Eben just said at the end, that if good people don't stand taller, and if we don't make the right decisions now, when society is calling us, then where will we be, huh? Do you agree with that?
Yes, I am in full agreement. And you know, I was just recording for my community today that very same plea, in a little, maybe a little different way, but I do believe that each of us has incredible potential. And many of us have been maybe a little comfortable on the sidelines.
Right.
And I'm calling for people in my community to step up and claim their spot in terms of their own greatness.
There you go.
So that their voices can be heard. So that even if you're just having an effect in your local community, then you have that effect there, and we can create a ripple effect.
See, I mean, that's spot on.
Yes, because to Eben's point, we do need more role models.
Yep.
We do need people who are not afraid to speak up, and even if they are not in the popular camp, like I am not in this conversation, we do need us to speak up. So I'm in full agreement there. We all have got a part to play. We cannot leave it to religious leaders, obviously, and we cannot leave it to political leaders. Mm. It's time for us as humans, as global citizens, to step up and play our part.
Well, and let me say this now, that is the rallying call of this platform, Andrea. From the beginning, I called this thing Out Loud, and Eben, you played to it so well today, because you delivered today on this show what we call, what I call the Out Loud truth.
What is missing in our time is actually truth, because truth has vanished somehow, because we have been told for, I mean, so many years that there is no such thing as truth. But speaking about God, I would say God is truth and love. So if you are anchored in that, you can go out and speak up.
Amen.
You need this foundation where you build on this tradition and on what the church has been saying for centuries, for millenniums. that God's truth and love, and if you're anchored in that, you can defeat evil.
Amen. And it's not abandoned here, Eben. It's not abandoned here. So it's alive and well. And quite frankly, you and Dr. Andre Panagin just slayed this entire conversation. So, and anybody listening knows that clearly, because we just had one of the most incredible conversations on this show that we've had to date right at this very moment. And friends, that leaves me really excited about the work we are doing at, number one, America Out Loud, and number two, this show, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Incredible women from around the globe, as you can see right here. The reason this show is what it is, and the reason it's our highest rated show, and it's doing incredibly well, is because of Dr. Andrea Pennington and Eben Tranholm and all of the other co-hosts that are on this show. They make the show what it is to bring you a really interesting conversation, one that is both holistic in nature, but one that is very pragmatic as well as to what needs to happen ahead. I kind of look at this as a roadmap, if you will. It's a roadmap to the future, because there are a lot of good people involved in this production that make it what it is. We invite you in every day to visit with us. 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is the time you'll find us live on America Out Loud Talk Radio. The encore is at 11 p.m. You'll catch us anywhere in the world at those time zones. You can catch us on many of the talk radio networks such as AHA Radio, Radio Guide FM, TuneIn, and iHeart Radio is where you'll catch us. You can get the iHeart Radio app, in fact. You can even get our app at America Out Loud on Android or Apple. Just type in America Out Loud Talk Radio. The app will come right up. It's a red icon. It says talk on it. And just get that and you'll stream our signal 24/7 right to your smartphone. And my friends, it doesn't get any easier than that. You'll also catch the show and podcast the day after live talk radio. We do this show every day because it's an important show. And so you'll catch us here 7 days a week. My friends, thank you for joining us. Spread the word out there. Share the good word and the information here that we're doing at Life, Liberty, Pursuit of Pleasure. Dr. Andrea Pennington, Eben Tranholm. This is Malcolm Out Loud. To be continued, friends.